Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Welcome to the monthly binge support call. I am Jane Pilker. I am a guest coach here in No BS. I am also Corinne's bestie. So you might know me as Corinne's bestie. You might know me as the one who is in the binge support Facebook group. I am here to talk all things about binge eating. So this month in No BS, you guys all know that the topic is all about finding your enough. And so one of the things I wanted to start this conversation with today was the idea around, for some people, finding your enough or stopping at enough can feel like a diet. It can feel like it can trigger a binge. It can kind of trigger some of that like scarcity thinking. So I wanted to talk a little bit about why that is. And then we're just going to open this up for coaching. So if you would like to be coached today, go ahead and raise your hand and I will bring on as many people as we are able to coach in the hour that we are going to have together. Also, if you have any questions specifically, just type them into the Q&A and I will address any and all questions, as many as I can get to during our time. This call is going to be really all about binge, anything related to binge eating being eating large quantities of food, typically in secret. There's typically a lot of shame involved. And a lot of times it feels like out of control, feels like you're unable to stop. That's kind of what I mean when I talk about binge eating. So binge eating is something very near and dear to my heart. It is something that I struggled with for, over 25 years. And I am here to just let you know that you are not broken. If binging is something that you struggle with, there is a perfectly good reason why you do what you do with food. And I love to help people really understand what's going on, why you are doing what you're doing with food, and then also what you can do to, you know, really help and work with that, work with the behavior instead of hating it, fighting it. I am also the creator of the Trust in Your Body course in No BS, inside of No BS. It is under your self-study resources, and it can be an amazing course. It's really amazing for anybody, but particularly if you are somebody who struggles with binging. So that is me in a nutshell. Now, back to the conversation of enough. The reason that sometimes stopping at enough, finding your enough, can feel like a diet. For me, what I think about is there can be this idea that I should stop at enough. This is something I should do. There's like a rule to it, instead of really wanting to understand, what does enough feel like in my body? So just think about this for yourself. As you're listening to this, if I tell you, you should stop at enough, you should stop when you've had enough food, how does that feel? How does it feel in your body? It might feel kind of a little tight. You might feel a kind of a closed offness. And you might even think, don't tell me what to do. Like, I can decide when I'm going to eat or when I'm going to stop. It's like this should. What if you were to say, I could stop at enough? I could do that. Replacing the should with could, it makes it more, it becomes a suggestion, something you get to choose for yourself, rather than trying to do the right thing, trying to do what somebody else said I should do, trying to follow the rules so that I can get it right. It's more of the understanding, what is my enough? What does enough feel like for me? Yes, some people think like, oh, it feels rebellious to think that I should stop at enough. Just that difference. What understanding the connection of enough, how can I really connect with my body If you have taken the Trust in Your Body course, or if you have heard me on previous calls, you know that I am a huge proponent always of connecting with your body. So rather than I should stop at enough, there's this rule, I need to stop at enough. Sometimes people might even think, well, that's enough is not enough food. So there's some scarcity thinking in there. What I would love for you to consider instead is the connection with your body. What does it feel like in my body to be enough? What are the enough signals, not only for me physically, but also in my brain? So yeah, somebody says enough never feels like enough. If it doesn't feel like enough, then you're creating scarcity with that. It's like, oh, it's not enough. You can also experiment with a different word, enough. Maybe enough isn't the word you want to use. Maybe you want to use a different word for it, but it's, for me, it's not the word. It's how does it feel in your body? What does enough feel like for you? So instead of being this thing I have to do, I'm supposed to do, this rule I need to follow, can you get curious about what enough feels like in your body? And in order to know what enough feels like, you also kind of need to know what a little less than that feels like and what more than that feels like. Can you get the nuances of the different feelings? There are so many great resources in No BS. I don't even have to go into all of the resources that are there for you to find your enough. So much of what you've all been working on this month and will continue to do so. But the idea, the reason that sometimes it can feel and can trigger like urges to binge is because there's this creation of scarcity. Either I should, I'm supposed to, it's a rule, or it's not enough. Enough isn't enough. So you can look at what are you thinking about enough and how might that be triggering some sort of scarcity thinking or feeling that might then be creating more, bringing on more urges to binge. All right. Go ahead and raise your hand if you want to be coached. Let's see. Okay. We've got a question here. I used to consider myself a binge eater. I think I just overeat. I will just stop right there and say, it really doesn't matter whether you call yourself a binger, whether it's overeating, the title does not matter. What matters is what you think about yourself and your choices after an overeat. So here's what this person says. I do have tons of shame and judgment of myself for my overeats. That's the part I'm concerned about. I don't care if you say you're an overeater or a binger, that part doesn't matter. But the shame and the judgment that you have, that is absolutely the key. So the question here is, how do I take off the proverbial shame shawl? So shame and judgment are the two main things that will keep you in the cycle of binging, that will keep you in the cycle of overeating. So the very first thing is for me, it's understanding why you binge, why you overeat. So really looking, how does it make sense? There is a worksheet in the Trusting Your Body program that we will make sure there is a link to the replay of this call. There's a link or there's a worksheet. It's called How to Nurture Yourself After an Overeat. The thing that I really like about this worksheet is that it will help you make sense. It will help you kind of understand how it makes sense, why you binged or why you overate. It will also help you kind of address some of the needs that might have been going on. And then also it will help guide you towards some compassion for yourself. So here are the two things. Shame and judgment are the things that are going to keep you in the cycle, that are going to keep you stuck, keep you wanting to get away from yourself, wanting to get away from the shame, from the judgment. And you generally will end up doing that by eating more. So the two things that are going to kind of counteract shame and judgment are going to be curiosity and compassion. So the curiosity sounds like, how does it make sense? How does it make sense that I overate last night? How does it make sense that I binged when I got home? How does it make sense? Then you can ask questions. What did I really need at the time? What did I think that the food was going to do for me? Is there a way that I can take care of or address my needs in other ways? We really want to get curious about that. Then we can have compassion for ourselves and really wanting to treat ourselves very kindly. It makes sense. If it makes sense, you can understand what was going on, what that need was. You can learn to address that need. Then you can learn from it. When there is shame and judgment present, we can't learn from what's happening because we're so busy thinking that we're terrible, that we're wrong, that we'll never figure it out, that we're not able to see what's going on. So the analogy I love to use is when you have a binge, when you have an overeat, it's like the light coming on your dashboard, right? It's like your check engine light comes on. And what that means is that we need to look under the hood. We need to see what's going on under the hood. What is making that light come on the dashboard? We don't have to look at the dashboard. We don't have to try to like cover up the light with duct tape. This is what most people do. They try to like look at the light. They look at the food. Okay, well, if I just change the food, let me just get rid of the food in the house. Let me just change what I'm eating. Let me just stop eating that particular food. Then I'll make the binges go away. That's not how it works. The reason that you're binging is not because of the food itself. It's because of what's going on under the dashboard. So we have to be under the hood. We have to be able to lift up the hood, see what's going on. Now, what shame and judgment does, shame and judgment is like putting a 50-pound weight on top of the hood of your car. So now you can't, your check engine light is on, but you can't even get under the hood to see what's going on because you've put this extra weight on top of the hood. So shame and judgment, one is you just have to know it will never get you to the place where you want to go, which is ultimately to end the binges. You will not end your binges from a place of hating them, from a place of wishing they would go away, and from a place of just thinking that they're terrible. You just won't. The way you unwind your binges is by understanding them, by figuring out what they have to tell you, by figuring out what's going on underneath your hood that is making those binges come in the first place. When you understand that, when you figure that out, then the binges will unwind themselves. It does not have to be a fight. It does not have to be this terrible thing, but shame and judgment will keep you in the cycle. Okay, let's do some live coaching, shall we? We are going to bring Jessica on for coaching. Come on down. All right. While Jessica is coming on, I'm going to answer the next question real quick. So in the Q&A, we have a similar question, which is shame, disgust, failure, which promotes motivation to do better for a while, and then the cycle starts all over again. It's because of the shame, disgust, and failure cycle that we were just talking about. So the question is, how do I get off the hamster wheel? It is to start with, it's the shame and judgment. We need to remove the shame and judgment so we can get under the hood. And you can start this with the How to Nurture Yourself After an Overeat worksheet is a great place to start in understanding some of those items. All right, Jessica. Hello.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, so I kind of wanted to get coaching on. I did the Binge Better course and sessions when they started, and I felt like I got really good with my binges. I had worked through them and not had binges for a while. But recently, in the last month or so, I've noticed I've started binging while at work. So it'll be usually like highly processed food from like the vending machine. And I've done the discovery worksheets and I've connected it to my thoughts around like stress or frustration at work. But I guess I'm a little confused because I've had stress and frustration at work over the past year, and I didn't go to binging. Like mm-hmm. I had really, so I guess I'm trying to figure out what has restarted or re-triggered my.
So, yeah. So let's think about it. So you said it's been about the past month or so?
Yes. Yes.
Can you remember when it started or what might have been going on?
I would say probably the end of January. So what I did notice, and I talked about this with my accountability partner, is at the gym, we started a challenge like at the beginning of like middle of January. And I felt like I started to be more restrictive in my eating to mm-hmm. like win the challenge. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think that's kind of where it may have started.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Great awareness. So for most people, they're the behind many, many, many binges, I would say most binges, is some form of restriction. It can be physical restriction. It can be mental restriction. Now, the restriction can come in a couple of different ways. So if you are thinking, I need to do like, I want to win, I'm going to eat less food, so it can be like actual restriction. So were you actually eating less food starting in January?
Probably. Yeah. I would say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so for anybody who has a binging background, has a history of binging, here's what happens. The brain has this idea. The brain wants to protect ourselves. We have all been on many diets in the past. Most of us who have binged have kind of done that pendulum, right? We've been on the extreme diets, and then we've kind of rebelled against the diets, and we've gone to the binging. And so the brain kind of knows that as a pattern. And if it gets this sense that starvation might be coming again, whether it's coming through a diet, whether it's coming through even just a perceived diet, the brain can try to protect itself and kind of put, it's like, oh no, we're not doing that again. We are not doing that, you know, kind of crazy dieting, whatever. It's almost like a post-traumatic diet response. And if binging is something that you have done in the past, then the brain kind of knows, oh, this is how we can prevent us from going back to that starvation place, is by bringing binging back. This is also another reason why sometimes even the idea of enough, if that feels like a diet in your mind, kind of the idea of mental restriction, I'm not supposed to eat this much food, I should be eating less, even that can bring on the mental restriction of this, like, I shouldn't be eating this, or I need to eat less so that I can win this challenge, or so that I can lose more weight this week. So we mm-hmm. need to be really careful, because the brain, I know for me, if I, having, you know, for me, I've got a long history, right, of kind of either going to extreme in terms of hunger, whether it's like intentional, or sometimes for me, even unintentional, and then mm-hmm. the binging on the other side. So I know for me, if I skip a meal, and even intentionally, like, there are plenty of great reasons for me to skip a meal, but if I do, I am much more likely to, my brain is kind of like, oh, wait a second, are we starving again? Are we going back on another diet again? Yeah. We're not going to do that. So then there can be more of a potential to binge on the other side. So that is definitely the possibility. So tell me this, when you were going through Binge Better and you had, you know, some really good success there with your binging, what changed for you during that time in terms of like what you were thinking, how you were, you know, kind of relating to yourself?
I think the biggest thing for me was accepting the binge. Like, it just, you know, just, all right, if you're going to binge, just have it, like, sit with it, to deal with it. And I think learning how to change my thoughts around the guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my accountability partner, and I, you know, when I checked in after a binge, I was like, I don't feel as much shame. And she even pointed out, like, my binges have gotten shorter because mm-hmm. we've been accountability partners for a long time. She's like, you know, it used to be 3 or 4 days. Now it's just like you do it for that day, you know, and it is a less quantity of food. So I started tracking this month. I started tracking what day, like when I binge, just to have some data around, like, is it even happening as often as I think it is? Because in my mind, it's like every other day.
Yeah.
But
what did you notice in your tracking? What patterns did you notice?
So far, let's see. I binged on like a Thursday, Friday. Like it was right before the weekend. But other than that, there haven't been any binges.
Mm-hmm. So when you said you've been binging at what you've noticed it at work, you go to the vending machine. Mm-hmm. Do you notice, is there a particular emotion that you know, like, oh, when I feel this emotion, I feel more of that desire to get up and go to the vending machine?
I think a sense of being out of control. Like, I noticed the days that, so I'm a teacher and I'm an interventionist. So it's like I pull students and my schedule is extremely flexible. So sometimes I may have to, you know, help out with behavior, or I may have to, I do a lot of different things. So I've noticed the days that I stick to my schedule, I pull my groups, there's no binge. But if I'm like dealing with, you know, helping put out fires in the office, those are the days, because it's not as structured and I feel out of like control.
So when you're putting out fires, in the office, what is generally your sense of like so you're talking about out of control. Are you feeling like I'm out of control of my schedule? I'm out of control. What are you feeling out of control of?
I guess my day, or like feeling out of control of how I'm feeling. I think more or less like how I'm feeling than necessarily my day.
As an interventionist, tell me what it is that you do with the kids.
I pulled them from class and I review skills that they have deficits in to kind of catch them up.
Okay. Okay. And so there are times where you don't know if that's going to happen for you. You just like, what would a fire be? Like if you're putting out a fire?
Let's say, students get into a fight and then we have to like, you know, investigate like what happened and give consequences and things like that. So that may be a fire. It could be an upset parent. It's usually something that's not good.
So here's what I'm curious about. Does putting out a fire in someplace else within, you know, within school, do you find that there's that kind of energy of putting out a fire, even if you're thinking about it as putting out a fire, that kind of sounds like kind of emergent, right? Like a big deal. Yeah. Then I wonder how much of that energy you might be kind of taking on that then you might be kind of almost like wanting to use food to put out your own internal fire.
Oh yeah. That sounds like a great description.
Yeah. 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 So what do you teach your kids in terms of when they're working with their own emotions and dealing with things? How do you teach them to work with their?
I usually tell them to, you know, take deep breaths and like think about like the facts. I guess I kind of like give OBS skills. Like,
yeah. Think
about, is it really as bad as you're making it in your head? You know, let's talk through the facts. That's usually what we do when they're kind of upset. Yeah.
So how might you be able to apply that to your own situation?
Probably do the same thing, like go through the four N's. Mm-hmm. I think like when I've done discovery worksheets after a binge, that's usually my like next best action. But I think I think I try to make it too, has to be a certain way. So like, oh, I have to grab my, you know, my planner. And so I've been thinking about like, maybe I can just grab a sticky note or like, you know, maybe I can just say it out loud. Because I typically don't go to the Four Ends because I'm like, oh, I don't have my planner, you know, right there, or I don't have time to write out or something like that.
Yeah. So here's, it sounds to me like you are probably telling yourself, I'm out of control. I'm out of control either of my day, of I'm out of control in some way. So of course, then I'm going to kind of prove it by eating out of control. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you can do, just like you do with your students, like, is this really true? Am I really out of control? And you can even find yourself, like, I would recommend next time you find yourself wanting to go to the vending machine, you can be like, oh, I'm probably thinking I'm out of control right now. Is it true? Am I really out of control? Maybe there's just a little internal fire here. Maybe there's an internal fire and I can use Mind OBS skills. I can use my skills as an amazing interventionist to intervene with myself. What a gift.
Yeah.
You have all the skills and all the ability. And also then knowing it is possible that if you are trying to win this weight loss competition and there's a little bit of restriction going on there, that is going to make you more likely to want to go to the vending machine to, you know, end up binging if you are not satisfying the physical needs of your body. And nobody can know that other than you. But if you are doing things like trying to eat less, trying to lose more weight, pushing hunger, those types of things, those types of things are just going to set you up to be much more likely to binge, particularly when you have situations where there is a lot going on at school. You are dealing with other big emotions, helping people work through their situations. You just might be more, you know, primed for it.
Okay. That's really helpful. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for raising your hand. I'm sure this was very helpful for a lot of people. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Put you back. Okay, Karen. I'm going to bring you on, Karen. And while I bring you up, I'm going to answer another question. Tabitha says, I feel like this binging is due to a lack of self-worth and not being kindly honest with myself. I've been in no BS for 3 years. I've given up on weight loss. Even when I do worksheets or journal, there is so much self-hate. Until I learn to like myself at any size, don't think I can move on. So what I would say is, I mean, you're right on, Tabitha, in that what you really want is the relationship with the working on the relationship with yourself. When I tell somebody, you know, the whole idea of not focusing on the number on the scale, like I don't really say that as like giving up on weight loss. I don't want anybody to give up on themselves. So Tabitha, what would be really interesting for you is if you haven't been through that self-love course, I would start there. Start with the self-love course and go there and then take that to ask coaches. But I think that would be just an amazing place for you to go. All right. Here we are. Let's see. Miss Karen, right?
Yes.
Okay. Hello. What are we coaching on?
Well, this is perfect timing. I realize I am missing the relief that binging gives me from dealing with emotions.
So tell me more about that. Tell me, how does binging give you relief?
Well, like today was a really stressful day, dealing with people who were like chewing on my last nerve. And I wanted that mindlessness of like shoving potato chips in, where all you're thinking about is the action of the eating.
Okay. And that's relieving because?
I think it's because I'm avoiding dealing with what's really bothering me. And I'm trying to learn to sit with the emotions, but I have a really hard time wanting to face them, especially when they're things that I can't fix.
Well, let's go. So we'll come back to that, but I still want to get, I'm still want to understand the idea that the binging is giving you relief. So tell me how the binging equals relief.
I think it's because it's the distraction.
So distraction is relief?
Rather than sitting here grinding my teeth and thinking, you know, why did she act like that? Why did she do that? I wish, you know, so-and-so wouldn't do that. And
so are those the only, those are the only two options? We either binge and distract or we grind our teeth. That's all we get?
No, I mean, I thought like, I sat and I've done my deep breathing. I've tried talking myself through the fact that, you know, some things you can't change. I came home from work and got in my pajamas, played with my cat, tried, you know, I'm trying things to distract and to let go of those emotions. And at the same time, I'm thinking, oh, I wish I had a big bag of Lay's.
Okay. So let's say you did have a big bag of Lay's right now. You had a bag of Lay's, you were shoving them in your mouth. Tell me what would be happening for you in the moment.
I think part of the thing for me that I haven't figured the answer to, I figure out what I do. Mm-hmm. It's easier to deal with the emotions that binging give me, like the disappointment and the shame, because I know that routine and I know how it plays out and I know what the end is.
And how have you come to know that?
A lot of therapy and, you know, self-evaluation and just trying to find answers.
And how would you get to know how all of that process would work and would look like with other emotions that aren't as familiar, that you're more used to avoiding and distracting from?
I think I just get, well, first of all, I think I don't like sitting with the uncomfortableness. I like things to have solutions or a viable end.
Can I ask you a question? You just said you don't like sitting with the uncomfortableness. How does it feel after a binge? Do you feel comfortable?
No. But, you know, I'm used to the routine of, okay, you did that. Now forgive yourself. You know, I even go through all the things, you know, it didn't solve anything. If it didn't fix the stupid people. I posted on the Facebook page that, you know, I realized the only way food was going to help me today is if I could peg my annoying coworker with my can of V8, which, you know, is
which probably still wouldn't even help, right? It would not help.
No, but I'd have other worries.
So let's go back to the relief. I still haven't heard yet how the binging actually provides you relief.
It doesn't, it relieves the negative that I'm uncomfortable with dealing with. I guess I'm too comfortable with the emotions attached to binging.
Are you comfortable with them or are they just familiar?
Familiar. Yeah. Because I don't like them.
There is nothing comfortable about the shame, the judgment, and the physical distress. That is not comfortable. It may be familiar and it may be known. But don't pretend that it's comfortable because it's not.
No.
So we got to tell ourselves the truth for sure. And the thing that I still haven't heard is, because what you're saying is, okay, right now I'm feeling all the feels. I'm feeling this thing that I usually, in when I feel this kind of, it sounds like frustration. Does that sound about right? Yeah. Okay. So when I feel this frustration, what I usually do is eat potato chips. And when I do that and I eat the potato chips, what I'm really doing is kind of just like covering it up. I'm like burying the frustration, which I would agree with that. You're burying the frustration. Mm-hmm. And then we're just adding shame, judgment, physical discomfort on top of the other discomfort of the frustration. But what I haven't heard yet is, where's the relief? Where does this relief come in?
I don't know if part of it is I think I'm rewarding myself with whatever I want to eat.
What are you rewarding yourself for?
For putting up with the stress. But I'm really, you have stumped me on this because I'm trying to think of how, I don't know. I just keep coming back to that. It's easier for me to sit and be ashamed of myself than it is to feel the disappointment in other people's actions and how they behave.
So then it's like, this is the reason why I'm being very kind of like honing in on where actually is this relief? Where is this actually easier? And the reason why I'm honing in on this is that you believing that binging brings you relief. You binging is easier than being with the discomfort, being with the frustration of somebody acting like an asshole. I'll just give it to you. They were an asshole. They were a jerk. Welcome to being human. Yes. If your response to anybody out there in the world who shows up like a jackass is going to be, well, it's so much easier to binge, then binging is going to be the thing you keep doing, which is fine if that's what you want to do. But no. I don't believe you when you believe that there is relief. You believe that it's easier, which is why you are still doing it. Totally get it. But where I'm asking the questions and the reason why is like, is it really giving you relief? Is it really?
No, it's not. It's easier? Like a Band-Aid.
Yes.
On feelings I don't want to feel.
Yes. Okay. Beautiful. Now we go into the question, why don't you want to feel frustration? Again, you're a human. There are going to be annoying, frustrating jackasses out there everywhere. And sure, we could do our thought work. We can say, oh, what they did. We can change our thoughts around it. But we can also just be like, you're annoying. You're frustrating. Why don't you want to feel frustration?
Again, I think it goes into realizing that I don't have an escape from it. The same people are going to be there tomorrow.
Why do you need to escape it?
I guess because I don't like how their behavior makes me feel and how it affects me. It wouldn't bother me if they were.
It's because you're thinking, I don't like this. I need to get rid of it. I don't want to feel this.
Yeah.
Yes. So here is the beauty. The beauty is not in, okay, the chips are giving me relief. We've already decided, no, they don't. They're really not relieving. Yes, it's what you know. Yes, it's what your brain is offering. But the beauty is in this. Feeling frustration is just a human emotion. So when we can teach ourselves that any of these human emotions, frustration, anger, resentment, happiness, joy, any of these big emotions that many of us who use food to kind of numb ourselves, maybe to escape ourselves, to escape certain things, we just don't have that skill set available yet. We haven't really learned how to be with these emotions. For you right now, this is a beautiful opportunity. You're like, I don't want it. I don't want to feel frustrated. I don't want to feel all of these things.
I would rather eat food.
Yes. Okay, so that thought right there, I want to get rid of it. How does that feel when you think, I want to get rid of this feeling? How does it feel?
Actually kind of freeing to, in a weird way to identify that I want to remove myself from it.
So I think that I'm guessing that the freeing part is more of the like, oh yeah, the understanding, like that's what I'm wanting to do. Like that mm-hmm. kind of awareness is what I'm guessing for sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the kind of like, oh, that's what I'm trying to do is you making sense and you understanding what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. But the thought itself, I want to get rid of it. That is going to feel like tight, like that. Like I don't want
there is some like dread of, because yeah, I really do in my mind. I think I should somehow just be able to disengage from it.
Mm. Here's the magic power is to be able to be with an emotion, to an allow an emotion to be part of your experience without it driving the bus, without it mm-hmm. running the show. So we can be frustrated. Yes. Does that mean now I'm going to go eat an entire bag of chips just because I'm feeling frustration? No, actually I can be frustrated and I can also go on with my day while I kind of just allow this to be here. So it's part of the noticing the now process with a no BS, with any emotion, we notice it. You are feeling frustration. Then it's opening up to it, allowing it to be here. In you not wanting this frustration to be here, you are then like, okay, well, what are my alternatives? My alternatives then, I'm going to go eat some chips. I'm just going to cover this up. I don't want this here. I don't want it to be here.
Uh-huh.
But you're a human being, which means you are going to experience emotion sometimes. You are going to experience frustration sometimes. There's going to be coworkers who do things you don't like them to do. So yes, we can do all kinds of other thought work about it, but we can also learn how to just be frustrated and not let it steer us into binging, into reacting, into throwing a V8 can at somebody, right? We can kind of do that and also still be with ourselves. And so what that looks like is it looks like opening up just a little bit to the emotion. So you mentioned early on in the call, it's like, ooh, I don't want it. Like, I don't know how to be with that. I don't like it.
I don't.
Yes. Okay. So what we can do with emotions, the ability to be with an emotion, I call it your emotional capacity. And that is your capacity to be with any emotion. It is a skill. So just like anything, you need to learn how to grow your emotional capacity. We don't grow your emotional capacity by just jumping into the deep end and saying, bah, have a good time, feel your frustration, good luck with that, right? So we don't do that. What we can do is, number one, just notice, like naming it, oh, this is frustration, kind of, am I willing to just be frustrated even for a little bit? So this is opening up to the emotion, opening up. Am I willing to just let this be part of my experience? If I usually allow 0 minutes of frustration, can I allow 60 seconds? Can I allow 90 seconds? Can I allow just a tablespoon of frustration to be a part of my experience without trying to escape it, get away from it, eat potato chips to try to cover it up, even though that never works? Can I just be with it a little bit? And if you can realize, oh, here's what I'm doing. I am intentionally building the skill of my emotional capacity, learning how to be with this frustration. Because let me just ask you this. Do you want to be a person who doesn't want to be with frustration for the rest of their life? Do you want to be turning to potato chips instead of every time you get frustrated?
No, I don't want to turn to food to anything but hunger.
So when you think about yourself in the future, when you're have a larger emotional capacity, when that call for the potato chips doesn't feel so big and so loud, what does that future version of you do when she gets frustrated?
She says, you know what? You are frustrated. You deserve to be frustrated. You can sit with being frustrated for a while. You're not going to die from it. And fortunately, you get to leave at the end of the day and you can leave the frustration behind.
Yeah. How does that feel?
Now I feel much more relaxed. I'm thinking how privileged I am that I don't live with these people.
I
think part of the problem is I always think that I should somehow be able to fix it.
And you're trying to fix your emotions also.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm trying to fix it. I know what fixes it. Potato chips. No, we don't have to fix emotions. We just want to be with them. They can be a part of our experience. They have so much to teach us. They are very informative. And then when we allow them to be there, they will pass through on their own. The frustration will pass through on its own. Any emotion that we're feeling, if we allow it to be a part of us, a part of our experience, it will pass. And when we can say like, oh yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense you're feeling this way. And that's okay. It won't always feel this way. We can leave this behind. We can do this. We can put it on the shelf. But we can also stay with ourselves and take care of ourselves through the process. We don't have to fix it. We don't have to make it go away. We don't need relief from it. So you're a human with the human emotions. So what you're learning is how to be with these emotions without turning to food, thinking that the food is actually fixing these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not what's happening. Food doesn't fix emotions, and emotions don't need to be fixed. So that's brilliant. We know. It's like, oh, okay. So now we know this. You're feeling a little bit more kind of open there. You have the rest of the evening. What does Karen need to take care of Karen in a way that is going to feel nurturing to Karen, in a way that's going to feel very honoring to what you need, to your body? What does the rest of this evening look like for you?
Relaxing. I'm actually not hungry. So if I get hungry later on, I'll have something. As you can see by my image, the sun is set. Sorry to be in the dark.
No worries.
Maybe go to bed early and refresh and hope to tackle tomorrow a little bit better.
Yeah, and maybe tomorrow doesn't need to be tackled. Maybe tomorrow can just be another day, right? Just tackling, like, already sounds like, whoa, that's going to be work. It's going to be hard if you have to tackle it. Right? Yeah. But going to bed, it's lovely. Leaving that frustration there, it's lovely. Now, this doesn't mean you have to walk in the door and pick that frustration right back up. It's like, well, let's see what happens. What if I'm open to just kind of my emotional experience tomorrow? And maybe there can be frustration and joy and happiness and concern, whatever. Maybe there's actually a whole range of emotional experiences I can feel now that I'm maybe a little more open to expanding your emotional capacity means expanding your ability to be with all of the emotions, not just the big, ugly, scary ones, but all of them. And just being open to just creating a different experience for yourself where you don't have to fix them, get rid of them, or get relief from them.
I like that idea. It sounds challenging, but I do like it.
So you can do it. And you have amazing resources available within No BS to do all of this. So I think this was super helpful for a lot of people. Thank you for raising your hand.
It helped me a lot.
Good. Take good care of yourself tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. Good night. All right, everybody, I'm going to pull up one more while we pull up Alexis, I believe is your name. I am going, what happened to my, here we go. Okay, we're going to pull up Alexis. And while we do, I'm going to look at the Q&A real quick. Q&A, why aren't you coming? Well, I'm not for some reason. Oh, there it is. I had put it off to the side. Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Yeah, there's a problem. My kid was fidgeting, and anyway, the camera's broken. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we will just go with audio then. What can I coach you?
Okay. So I had another binge today, and I even hear the voice in my head saying, "Alexis, don't do it. You've had enough. You've had enough." I bypass that voice, so it's not even like. Years ago, I wouldn't be aware that I was doing it. Well, I'm aware now. And I hear the voice saying, don't do it. And I keep on doing it.
Tell me this. When you hear that voice that says, don't do it, you've had enough. How does that feel?
How does it feel?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Like, I'm like, I want what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like rebellious, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So have there been times in the past where you have wanted to binge and you haven't? I guess that's the first question. Have there been times in the past where you've wanted to binge and you haven't?
Maybe like one time out of like, you know, 20.
Okay.
Yeah. There have been times, but mostly I don't know.
Can you recall a specific time where you wanted to, but you didn't?
3 days ago.
Okay. Tell me what that dialogue sounded like.
I allowed myself to feel the emotion, mm-hmm. and I kept saying, you're not going to have enough energy to go to the gym tomorrow. You know, you're going to feel like crap. And I was journaling and I was able not to succumb.
Okay. Okay. So tell me this, you were kind of more thinking ahead, right? Thinking through.
Yes.
Sounds like you were able to bring a little bit of your logical brain on board, thinking through kind of the consequences, how you might feel, kind of writing down some of those things, like staying a little more kind of connected and aware.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what was it about 3 days ago that allowed you to be more connected to the logical part of your brain and thinking through some of the consequences versus, say, for example, today?
I had an early morning class the next day, and I knew that if I binged, I wouldn't be able to make the class.
Okay.
Okay. Because then I wake up, you know, I'm like in some groggy stupor from all the food. So mm-hmm. I can't do the class. So that's why I didn't.
Okay. So you had a very compelling reason not to a few days ago. So then today, the dialogue sounded like, don't do it. You've had enough. And then it was kind of rebellious. You were just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Can you think about knowing the dialogue that you had 3 days ago? What might a dialogue have sounded like that could have led to a different response today?
I guess I could have told myself the same thing. You're not going to feel good tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about that?
When I don't, like you said, have a compelling reason, I just sort of, yeah, and I feel like so guilty now because I know I'm going to feel bad and I don't understand why I don't th-
think about that more often, like when I'm binging, I just get so caught up with the flavors in my mouth. There's like a party in my mouth, you know, I love it. And I just, you know, just go with the momentary thing.
Super common. A lot of people do. A lot of people go with what's happening in the moment. And one of the ways to really think through is when you can bring your logical brain on board, thinking through, okay, this is a party in my mouth right now. If that's, you know, kind of the way you're thinking about it, how is this going to feel in an hour? What am I going to feel 3 hours from now? How am I going to feel tomorrow? When you can bring that type of thinking on board, which 3 days ago you showed you have the ability to do this, that is a very powerful method. It's like telling yourself the truth. I think so often, sometimes we don't tell ourselves the truth. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just going to eat. And we're in denial about how we might feel later or whatever, right? It's like, we don't really want to tell the truth because we want to go through with the process and eat. But when we can, and having access to your logical brain is not always possible. So I don't want this to just sound like, oh, this is so easy. You can always do it. But you have shown you have the ability to do it. The more you do it, the more you practice, the more you have the ability in the moment to think through your decisions, to think through, is this really what I want to do? How am I going to feel later? How am I going to feel tomorrow? But for you, the biggest thing I'm hearing for you is the way that you talk to yourself. It's like, oh, you've had enough. You don't need it. Feels very, almost kind of judgy, like kind of like you shouldn't be doing that. Like kind
well,
of.
Yeah, because I shouldn't yes. be doing that.
Well, but so then we go back to what we talked about in the beginning of the call, which is shame and judgment. So you are judging yourself for the behavior. And anytime any one of us is judged by ourselves or by somebody else, it feels terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels terrible. So this is why you coming up with a dialogue that is less judgy. I like to, and this is where Corinne and I, you guys know, Corinne and I are besties. I love Corinne more than, well, I love my husband more than anybody. And then Corinne. But this is where she and I are very different. The way she talks to herself, if I talk to myself that way, it would not be good. And vice versa. Like the way I talk to myself, if she talked to herself that way, it wouldn't work for her. So this is where you have to figure out what works for you. But for me, I like to think like, oh, of course you would think that. Of course you want to eat more. This is kind of like what you always suggest. And here's what else we know. If you eat this, yes, you can eat this, but you will feel terrible in an hour. You are going to regret it. How about, like, do you want to have regrets? When you put your head on the pillow tonight, how do you want to feel? How amazing would it feel if you put your head on the pillow tonight and you had this like nice, happy belly? Like things like that are easier for me to then think through kind of where I want to go next, as opposed to you shouldn't do that. You've already had enough. You're going to feel like shit. Like to me, it's more like, oh yeah, you could eat. I give myself the option because I don't ever want anybody telling me what to do. So yes, you can eat. And if you do, let's just think through how you're going to feel later. Let's just think through what's going to happen when it's dinner time. And then your husband says, hey, what are we doing for dinner? How are you going to feel in the morning when it's time to get up and do the thing? You can eat if you want. So often the dialogue sounds more like you can't, you shouldn't, don't do it. It's like judgy rules, yucky. I like to give myself choice. Yes, you can eat, but let's just think through. Let's think it all the way through. If you eat right now, will you have regrets at the end of the day? Yeah, actually, I think I probably would. Okay, well then why don't we just wait? Can we wait just a little while longer? Maybe we revisit this in 15 minutes. Maybe we revisit it in half an hour. But for right now, maybe we can just wait a little bit. It's much more gentle.
Yeah, that does feel better when you say that.
Yeah.
I just sometimes wonder if maybe like I have some self-sabotage thing happening.
I think you're just being mean to yourself. That's all okay. It is. I think you're being mean. Like you shouldn't do that. This is wrong. This is bad. I don't think we even have to get into self-sabotage. I think work on the way, the dialogue, the way you talk to yourself in those moments and just see what's different.
Thank you so much.
All right. Yes. Thank you. All right, everybody. I have a couple of questions that I'm going to answer very briefly before we wrap up, because there's a couple of great questions here. So somebody asks, is our binge work really emotional capacity work? And I want to say yes, and absolutely, it is emotional capacity. If you are somebody who struggles with binging and you know you have a low emotional capacity, which is just your capacity to be with any emotion, 100% emotional capacity work is where it's at. It is learning how to be with emotions, how to expand your ability to be with emotions. And guess what? The desire to eat, an urge, stands for urgent desire. This is an emotion. So it's the work of realizing you can experience any emotion and you don't have to react to it. It can be a part of your experience. You can bring it with you, but it doesn't have to drive you. It doesn't have to lead the show, and you don't have to fix it. You don't have to escape it. You don't have to run away from it. So emotional capacity work is a huge part of binge work. And it also is, it's not the only piece. There are a lot of pieces to kind of unwinding binge eating, but expanding your emotional capacity is a huge one. Okay, there's one more question I want to answer, and then we're going to wrap up for the evening. Is building my emotional capacity learning to be comfortable with being uncomfortable? Yes, that is part of it. It's learning to be with any emotion. So yes, it is being uncomfortable. There's also some people who have a hard time even being with what some people might consider positive emotions, like joy, or celebratory, other emotions like that. Some people want to kind of get away from those. They might think like, ooh, don't feel that too much. Like, you know, something might happen. So it's really just the ability to be with any emotion. The second part of this question, as I become more compassionate instead of judging others and label them as stupid idiots, etc., can I stop causing myself unnecessary suffering? I love this question. The answer is yes. When you stop judging yourself as much as you do, you will also notice you judge others less. This does not mean you are automatically going to just become on high and never judge anybody ever again. But here's what happens. When we judge ourselves, we're essentially not allowing ourselves to be human, to make mistakes, to have thoughts that maybe something that maybe, you know, we have these thoughts, they just come to us, right? We judge ourselves for them. We're kind of wanting ourselves to like be perfect, to do things perfect, to eat perfectly. And we judge ourselves when we don't. When we can learn, oh, wait a second, you mean I don't have to be perfect? You mean I can be a human? You mean I can make mistakes? I can do these things and I'm still okay? I can just learn from them and get better and grow and evolve and move on? Oh, okay. Well, then maybe other people can too. Maybe my coworkers are allowed to be human sometimes. Maybe the way they show up sometimes is because of what's going on in their brains. Maybe their brains are full of all kinds of crazy thoughts just like mine are. And if I can learn how to work with my own thoughts, choose the ones I want to hold on to and choose the ones I want to let go, I can also learn how to do that with other people. So yes, the work always starts with you. The more curious and compassionate you can be with yourself, the more curious and compassionate you can be with other people. And this is how the work we do on ourselves, with our bodies, it shows up everywhere. It shows up in all of our other relationships. And then they can go out and change other people too. Such amazing work. It is not just about the binging itself. It's what's going on underneath the hood. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining me. I will see you in the Facebook Binge Support Facebook subgroup or on the binge call next month. See you. Bye.